What's up, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Ditto. We're super excited about today's episode and super happy that you're here with us today. Matt, how are you doing?
Hi, Ash. This is our second time recording this, so we're trying to be as normal and authentic and genuine as possible. I'm doing really well. Summer's going by really fast. Yeah. But I'm actually really getting excited for the fall. I love fall. I'm one of those cliche, like, leaves and crisp weather.
Pumpkins and football, pumpkin spice.
Pumpkins, yeah. But I'm doing well. How are
I'm
you?
I'm doing good, thanks. Just tired, but good. And we have an off day today, so that's been a blessing, which has been nice.
Do you usually get one a week?
Yeah.
Is that kind of on average?
Yeah, about one a week. Sometimes if we're lucky, two.
Yeah. Do you get Sundays off at all? I know you sometimes play on Sundays.
Yeah, but we don't normally. No? It just depends on our game schedule. But haven't been getting a lot of Sundays off, which is sometimes unfortunate, but that's okay.
Yeah. So you being a God-fearing woman, do you like go to church and then go to practice? Is that like your routine on Sundays usually? Or game,
yeah,
maybe?
So last year I did that a lot because our church was at 9 o'clock, which is nice, but this year we're at noon, and so it makes it hard.
That's hard.
But yeah, now that I'm pregnant and won't be traveling for away games, I can most likely go to church now. So there's
Sweet.
A silver lining there for sure.
Yeah, I don't think 12 o'clock church works for anybody.
Yeah.
Like, we have kids, and 12 is the worst to be able to have to entertain them for 5 hours when they wake up until we go to church.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, it's hard.
Yeah, it's tough. But
anyways, you briefly alluded to the fact that you are in fact with child. And so I want to really talk about that today, because I think it's so interesting. That, I mean, pregnancy in general is very interesting and miraculous. Mm-hmm. But then on top of that, having to do it as a professional athlete, I can't imagine. So we're going to unpack that today. But before we do, Ash, I have a joke for you. This one's actually really good. Okay, I shouldn't say that.
Yeah, you got to downplay
it. I'm going to let you decide.
Downplay it.
I know. This one sucks.
Yeah,
okay, you
hear
ready?
It.
Ashley, what do you call a teacher that does not fart in public?
No idea.
A private tutor.
That's a good one.
I thought that was
pretty
good.
That is a good one. Where'd you get that one?
I know. I heard that one. Not from ChatGPT, which sometimes I do. Oh, it was from the Smartless podcast.
Nice.
I know I've mentioned that before on here. I think it was Sean Hayes that he sometimes does those dad jokes with Jason Bateman and Will Arnett.
Yeah, they're funny.
He said it the other day, and I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah. Well, thanks for stealing it and sharing it here.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Awesome.
Okay, what are we talking about today, Ash?
We're going to talk about the wonderful topic of pregnancy and women in sports, because it's a very relevant topic to me right now, but also a very nuanced topic. And I feel like we're learning a lot, but still a long ways to go. So it'll be fun to talk about.
Yeah, I think so, too. I remember briefly talking about this actually in a graduate course that I took during my doctorate. So my mentor from the University of Tennessee, she's very, how do I describe her? She's very strong woman, pro women rights. Yes, I would describe her as liberal, and she very much is, but she's more just equality and, especially from a woman's perspective, power dynamics. And we talked about this, in fact, in one of our courses that she taught, and it was called, I believe, if I remember the title correctly, Women and Gender Studies in Sport. And so she had to throw the woman piece in there, because she's, that was like her main line of research, at least from my understanding, through her doctorate.
That's cool.
And so anyways, I developed a pretty big appreciation, or at least interest, well, appreciation and interest in this. And during my doctorate is when I had just had a child. So my wife had just had our child. We moved, and I started my doctorate when my daughter was like a month old, month mm-hmm. and a half. And so immediately, like, my identity was dad coming into my yeah. doctorate. And so anyways, it was interesting to like study sports, sports psychology, women, children, pregnancy, all of these things kind of meshing into one. It's unique mm-hmm. to be able to go through some of these experiences, I would imagine. Anyway, so I want to hear really from you, Ash. So far, if you don't mind, obviously you don't want to share too much personal stuff. How often do you throw up, Ashley? No, you don't need to share this thing. Yeah. So far, it's been, you know, how long? What's been your experience? What do you anticipate? How is it different? Because I know we briefly, before getting on here, talked about training and what the next week, what the next month, 3 months looks like for you. You've never done yeah. this before, and it's really different and foreign. So if you don't mind, kind of share with us your journey so far in this yeah, realm of things.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I guess I could briefly share SparkNotes version of like the very beginning of, honestly, my thought process of becoming a mom and being an athlete. I feel when I first started playing soccer, I didn't really think the two could coexist. I was like,
people do. Yeah, or think that
yeah,
way.
I was yeah. just like, I'm yeah. going to play soccer, and when I'm done, then I'll become a mom. And I yeah. was pretty set. I know I remember talking to a few of my teammates that probably still remember the conversations I've had with them. I was pretty set on like, no, I'm not going to do both. I want to be all in on a soccer player, and then I want to be all in on a mom. Like, I don't think I can do both. And that was at the very beginning of my career. And I've been lucky enough and blessed enough to have such an amazing career that like I'm not ready to let go of soccer, but I also, being a mom is something that is really, really important to me and something that I've wanted for a very, very long time. And so I think seeing very cool. other women go through it, you know, ratifying a new CBA that supports mothers, having teammates who have gone through yeah. it, my opinion on this topic has obviously changed. And so now I'm like, okay, like I think I can do both. And it's pretty cool to be surrounded by people that are like, yes, you can. And for that narrative to kind of change, like I still feel like it's got a long ways to go, but it's definitely becoming more common now for women to just have that option and belief that they can still have a career in mm-hmm. sports and become a mother. And so, yeah, it's been quite challenging so far, honestly. But it's been great at the same time, because it's something I've wanted for a very long time. Jeff mm-hmm. and I have talked about getting pregnant for the past probably like year and a half now, something that we've wanted and that we're like, okay, we think we're ready. I know you're never truly ready, but you can at least like somewhat prepare and kind of like plan. But yeah, it's been a journey. At the beginning of this year, actually, we did get pregnant earlier, but I miscarried at week 5. And that was really challenging just because, like you said, I've never done this before. I've never experienced being pregnant before. I've obviously heard that early miscarriages and your first time getting pregnant is pretty common, but to hear that is one thing, and then to experience it is totally. A totally different experience. But luckily, I had a lot of really good support around me. I actually miscarried while I was at national team camp, so that was pretty wild. But
jeez.
I had a doctor there that she was really, really helpful and helped me through the whole thing. So that was nice of yeah. her to like be there for me in that moment. And then we trained again, and we got lucky, and we got pregnant pretty soon after. So now we're at, I'm at, I say we because poor Jeff's going through it with me, but we're at week 14. So we're hoping to find out the gender in probably a week.
Week 20,
well, we
right?
did the blood work, so we should be getting the results back maybe in a week. So
yeah and it's gonna be
oh gosh, don't say that. I know you're a twin, but
gosh, I know, I can't imagine as a dad, I can't imagine my wife having twins. Oh my goodness. Thanks for sharing that. That I'm being vulnerable and expressing this to the masses. What do you, this is where I'm real curious, what's your experience like now moving forward? What do you anticipate? What do you hope now moving forward? Yes, as a mother, but also as a professional athlete / soccer player.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like my goal is definitely to come back and continue to play after, you know, having a child. Obviously there's a lot that needs to happen between now and then, but I'm hopeful, excited, optimistic about the whole process. I think just taking it like day by day, I'm learning a lot about myself, my body. I think the mindset part of it too is very very unique and very interesting, just because everything is so new. And I was talking to one of our female health like specialists, I guess you could call her, and she was like, pregnancy is the only injury that you can plan for. And I was like, yeah, I guess I never really thought about it that way. But yeah, it's, I'm just anticipating, you know, learning a lot through this whole process. My goal is to try to enjoy it, even though it's very difficult. It's what I've wanted. So just kind of like, let's go, let's do this thing. Let's figure it out.
Yeah. You know, I from a male perspective, we do like 0.2% of the work during this process. It's so admirable, I think would be the right descriptor, to just be pregnant in general and put your body through that and literally create another human being inside of you. It's crazy to think about. And then go through with it and to have the pregnancy and the birth and raise this other human being. But then again, on top of that miraculous and admirable component, do it within the framework of high pressure sport, I think is another level of just admiration. We had a guest on here, you know, correct me if I'm wrong. I know Casey Krueger for sure has a child. Does Andy have a child as well?
Yeah, so Andy just had her baby probably a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. That's what I knew she was pregnant. Yeah. Wasn't she pregnant when she came on? Okay. So what have you learned from them, really close friends / teammates, amazing women that, again, we've had on this podcast. Maybe there's another that I'm missing. Correct me if I'm wrong. What have you learned from them and hope to gain from their resiliency and recovery and coming back and kicking ASS?
I've learned so much, honestly. I'll start with Casey. She has a 3-year-old son now. So she did it when we didn't have all the support that we have now, which is pretty incredible. So I know her journey was very challenging, but she's been nothing but like supportive. And I know Andy has talked to her a lot too, like before even like deciding to try and, you know, get pregnant. We've just picked her brain so much, and she's always just so positive. And she was like, it's the best thing that'll ever happen to you.
She's such a positive person.
She's like, being a mom is the best thing that's ever happened to me. Like, you can do it. Like, it's hard, but you can do it. And I've had many conversations with her of like, I'm like excited, but I'm also like really nervous, like talking through all these emotions of like, I'm going to be out. I feel like I'm letting the team down a little bit, but also this is a really important thing for me and my family and my life. And just, she's always responded with just like love and support. And she's like, this is important. If this is important to you, it's important to us. Like, you've got this. So yeah, she's been a huge like reason why I feel like I am ready for this next step and I feel like I can do it. And then obviously having Andy as a close friend and teammate and seeing her go through it has been also really helpful. And both of them have been very honest with me of like, dang, this is really hard, but it's so worth it and you can do it. And yeah, I visited Andy probably like a week ago and she seems so happy. She's doing good. She's recovering. Awesome. And her little girl Millie is so cute. So yeah. Oh, so it's been fun, and I feel blessed to have like such amazing teammates like pretty close to me who've gone through it and have helped me, and I know that they're going to continue to help me through it. So
yeah, I love it. That's beautiful. I haven't asked those two, both Andy or Casey, or really any professional woman athlete that's had a child, this, but I would assume, based off being a parent, so kind of anecdotal evidence of, you know, having a child, children in my life, but also understanding identity, understanding mental health, understanding mental performance, having a purpose and having a why, having something greater than yourself, outside of yourself, is only going to help from a, especially an emotional and psychological standpoint. And so I would imagine that having a child facilitates that, especially if you have the opportunity within your organization, within your sport, to come back and actually play. And there's been, and we're going to talk about some of these women here in just a minute. There's been countless women that have done that, and you know, two on your team. Having a greater purpose and why to come back, even maybe stronger, at least again from an emotional and psychological standpoint, which is only going to facilitate on many levels, maybe not on some, but on many levels, the physical component of, you know, coming back and trying harder and recognizing that, you know, having this privilege of being a professional sport. And I think your child really would facilitate that. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. Am I thought process heading probably in the right direction?
Yeah, definitely. I know Casey has shared this before, and I can't remember. I'm sure she shared it on the podcast when we had her last year, but she's just talked about how like nothing really matters when you go, you know, pick up your son after soccer practice, or when you go greet him and your husband after a game. Like, she's like, Kayla doesn't care if I won or lost or if I had a good game or a bad game. Like, I'm just his mom. And he makes me happy. I make him happy. Like, and we just move on, you know? And so I think having that bigger purpose, like you said, like just facilitates that why behind, you know, your purpose of why you're doing what you're doing. It helps separate, you know, the results from the bigger picture. And like you said, I think it just makes your quality of life just that much better when you have a bigger reason to do what you're doing.
And we know, me specifically, I guess, but we talked about this on the podcast, so we both know this. Having an identity outside of sport is crucial. Yes, even if you're a professional and of the highest professional, because you lose and you have setbacks and you have challenges. And if that other identity, whether it's a mom, spouse, sister, friend, etc., is strong, you're much more likely to orient yourself to resiliency in those challenging moments. And so when adversity hits, there in theory is going to be positive adaptation. And again, I would think, and I don't know if there's explicit research on this, maybe there is, I would think a child and a mom relationship would facilitate that resiliency, right? And recognizing, I'm going to give my all to being the best soccer player I can be. But when I lose, when I have setbacks, inevitably, right, they're not going to keep me as low as sometimes I may have in the past, because I'm a mom and that's more important than being a soccer player, or I'm a spouse and that's more important than being a soccer player. Anyway, so having an identity outside of your, especially if you're an athlete, outside of sport is 100% the healthy route to go. And I think a child and being a mother and heading down that path is of benefit, right, from a mental and emotional standpoint. It's been interesting to think back again on this class that I had as a graduate student, and then briefly dive into some of this other research since then. And something that has continually stood out from when I took that class into now and diving into some, a little bit more of the research, is the return to sport. So like sport postpartum. I would imagine that's really difficult. You know, I did some studies, and this is, I'm not comparing the two. I'm just sharing how there might be some crossover. My dissertation, my research was essentially missionaries from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints that were college D1 student athletes. And so they took 18 months to 2 years off and then returned to sport. I would imagine on some level, again, people don't get mad, some level taking that time off is similarly, especially physically, really, really hard. So I want to ask you, what have you learned either from Casey, either from Andy, from your own research, et cetera, on how or what that might look like?
That's a great question, Matt, because I was actually thinking about this when I was watching Wimbledon with Amanda.
Let's see.
Anna Samova. There it is. Yep. Anna Samova. Yep. with her story, which was very interesting and kind of along the same lines of what you were talking about when missionaries leave and then come back and play college sports. Her story is pretty unique. She had to take some time off away from tennis because she was having a hard time after her father had passed away. Mentally, she just wasn't feeling herself. She wasn't feeling like she was enjoying tennis, and so she decided to take a step away. And a lot of people were telling her, like, you're at the top of your game right now. It's going to be really hard to come back. If you do take a step away, you can't take 8 months off and then expect to be able to come back and be the same athlete that you are today. And luckily, she didn't listen to them. And she listened to herself and what she needed. And she took 8 months off and came back, and she was in the finals of Wimbledon. Like, amazing. Pretty incredible story. And I just admired her a lot. And as I was listening to her story, I was like, that's so silly that people would say that, because like a pregnancy is 9 months plus, and you see athletes come back from it all the time. And I think, like you were saying, being able to take some time away from your sport is not always a bad thing. If anything, it could actually be beneficial, like physically, mentally, emotionally. Sometimes our bodies and minds just need a break, and sometimes we need to change. And I think the narrative around pregnant women in sports is also changing. Not only it's like, first it was like, no, women shouldn't do anything. If they want to have a baby, like, women can't even play sports because it will ruin their whole reproductive system. That was the narrative a long time ago. Well, not that long ago, but, and now it's like, oh wow, women can actually play sports and be very good at sports and be strong and fast and successful. And now we're seeing like, oh, women can actually come back from pregnancy. And now it's like, women can actually maybe come back from pregnancy even stronger and better than they were before pregnancy. And we're starting to see research that's showing that women can actually do more physically while they're pregnant, and it's actually beneficial for them, not only physically but mentally and emotionally, and it's actually good for the baby. Obviously, there's still like guidelines that you want to follow, but I think having that knowledge and having that narrative change from your career is going to be over to actually you can come back and be stronger and better than ever and be a mom is pretty amazing. And it's fun to kind of be a part of that, like the beginning of that narrative, because I hope that a lot more athletes start thinking about it, if that's something that they want, if they want to be a mom and they want to start a family, because I used to be scared of like, okay, I have to choose one or the other, but now it's showing that like you can do both, and sometimes taking that time away is actually better for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think back to, again, some of these missionary studies that I conducted as a doctoral student, and number one psychological, emotional, even spiritual benefit that resulted as a result of going on a mission for 2 years or 18 months was perspective. And we've talked about the power of perspective on this podcast quite a bit. And again, how that is so facilitative for resiliency and grit and work ethic and overcoming challenges and, you know, going through the inevitable hardships that sport will present. And then I also think like I'm going back to Casey, your teammate, like what a unique experience for them as a family to be involved in professional sport. Very few families get to say, yeah, my mom, my dad is a professional athlete and we go to games on Saturdays and Sundays and I go to training and I walk through the training facility and I get to get in the ice bath, or I don't know, just something. Having the experience of being around professional sport as a youngster is, I think, really unique and really kind of cool. Yeah, I know he's only 3, right? Is that what you said? Casey's son,
yeah.
But you know, maybe here in a couple of years, I'll actually start to remember mom playing and, you know, being around that. And again, as just as a family, I think that's pretty unique and pretty cool. Yeah, you know, I in trying to figure out for this episode, Ashley, I tried to do some research on some well-known quote unquote moms of the professional world of sport. Here's some of these individuals that I have found that I think, well, I know, correct me if I'm wrong, are they're quite the trailblazers in terms of advocating for like motherhood and being a professional athlete, and then finding changes around maternity leave and childcare access and all of these amazing things that came about as a result of their experiences. Now, their experiences weren't the most positive. And that's why I say trailblazers, because some these trailblazers have to go through crap, right? To then blaze a new trail for people like yourself that hopefully is that much better. And so here are some I think that are really interesting. Allison Felix, I remember her running for, you know, track and field. She, I believe, was a sprinter, like 200 meter. Wasn't that her jam? I don't, I can't remember exactly.
She ran a couple different events. But okay.
Like the most decorated U.S. track athlete, I think, in Olympic history, if I'm not mistaken, at least according to the very brief research that I did. I mean, she publicly shared her difficulty during pregnancy and her journey having to do an emergency C-section at 32 weeks. Eesh, I can't imagine that. And then she was very open about Nike's sponsorship and maternity protections and the lack thereof, I guess I should say, which led, again, to industry-wide changes and contracts for pregnant women, pregnant athletes, et cetera. One of her quotes I thought was really interesting is, I had to fight to be treated like a person, not a liability, which is really interesting.
Yeah. Well, I actually have a story that this quote just reminded me of. My second year in the league, so first year with the Spirit, obviously lots has changed since then. I had a teammate named Shayna Matthews, who she now has 3, maybe 4. I don't know. She's a super mom. Yeah. but she was having her second child, and I remember she found out she was pregnant. I don't remember how far along she was, but I do remember her like showing up and the team, like her wanting to like train with the team, obviously in a safe way, like non-contact or whatever it is. It may have even been still early in her first trimester, where we know now you can still play contact sports all the way through the first trimester, which I played. I think it was 2 or 3 games within my first trimester, but this was a while ago, and I remember the team basically making her leave and saying, we don't want to be a liability, you're pregnant, basically go home and go figure it out, because there was no guidelines, there's no structure in place, there's no support in place, coaches didn't know anything, athletic trainers didn't really know how to support her. And I do remember her being frustrated because she was like, I can be here, like I know what I can do. And I obviously knew nothing back then, and just seeing her go through that, but also go have her second child and come back and still play. She played for her national team. She played professionally for many more years. And she even started her own company of like sportswear for women. But anyway, that story, like that quote, is exactly kind of what I feel like they told her, is like, basically, you're, we don't want to be, yeah, your liability. We don't want to be liable for like if anything goes wrong with your pregnancy or whatnot. And so it's crazy to see now, because of people like her and all these amazing women that we're talking about, I'm able to show up to training every single day, still be a part of training, train with the team, also on my own, still get that, you know, practice and that physical stimulus in. But it's because of people like her who had to unfortunately go through those not so great experiences that, like, we know a lot more and we fought for a lot more and we have a lot more rights, I guess you could say, as pregnant women. So yeah, that's a good quote.
Yeah, amazing story. What was her name again? Your teammate back then?
Shayna Matthews.
Awesome. Yeah. I mean, she's obviously, she should be mentioned in all of these lists, but I didn't know about that. Yeah. And this is for everyone listening, obviously very individual. It's very contextual. Every pregnancy, every woman is different, and they're going to have different experiences. Now, we can, generally speaking, have timelines, but like injuries, kind of, right? Everyone's going to come back to play at a different time. Everyone's going to have a different experience, pre-injury, during injury. This is pre-pregnancy, during pregnancy, after pregnancy. But other, you know, two other women that have come to mind that I think have really been huge advocates for this is Serena Williams being one. I remember in 2017 during the Australian Open, she was 8 weeks pregnant, won it. Later revealed, again, like Allison, that there were some life-threatening complications during her childbirth, blood clots, etc. So you, these women are, every woman at being pregnant, are, you know, putting themselves through this trauma sometimes. Beautiful experience, but really hard often. Another example is, I think you say it, Alicia Montaño. I had to put a little accent in there. Middle distance runner. She ran for U.S. championships. She was, I think, from my research, 8 months pregnant when she ran the 800 meter at the 2014 U.S. championships. I can't fathom that. Yeah. And really spoke up about sponsorships dropping during her pregnancy and becoming a huge advocate for pregnancy rights and sport, and has been part of this kind of systematic change that I think is heading in a really great direction of equality as it pertains to this domain. And then I want to ask you, Ashley, because I know you know her, maybe. Alex Morgan is kind of a popular figure in your sport. She gave birth in 2020 and then returned to playing, I think, just like 6 months later after giving birth. And I know she's, I've seen pictures of her. I think it's a little boy, if I'm not mistaken.
She has a little girl and a little boy now.
Okay, yeah, that's okay. That's what I thought. I mean, do you know her? Do you know about her experience at all?
Yeah, I mean, I've been in camp with Alex and her daughter Charlie and other, you know, national team players, Crystal, Julie, who, you know, are amazing mothers and are able to balance, you know, being a professional soccer player, playing at the national team level, but also being wonderful moms. And I think Alex is one who's done a really good job of advocating for change and using her platform for good. I know that she had a lot of insight to our CBA, specifically around, you know, what support mothers could use and what would be like actually helpful and beneficial for us. So I know she was really helpful in that. But yeah, I think she's done a tremendous job of just being very open about it and speaking about just how mothers just need some more support, because it's obviously really, really hard and really, really challenging.
Yeah, really unique. I love it. And then a last example, I don't know her, but apparently she's had, I think, quite a impact on a really unique sport. Her name's Katie Taylor. She's a boxer. Just being a female boxer in general, I would think is really hard. There's probably a lot of stigma. I know there is a lot of stigma about being a female and being a boxer or an MMA athlete. But she's also a mother and, you know, planning around families and performance longevity and having to do that in a really tough sport. Apparently Katie Taylor has been quite an advocate and trailblazer, for that sport, but really just sport in general and being a mother. Any other examples that come to your mind that you either know of or either directly or indirectly that you want to bring up? Those are some that I've just, that popped up in my research.
Yeah. I mean, these are all wonderful examples and I know we're probably missing many, right. But Michelle Vasconcelos is one. I played soccer with her at BYU. Yeah, she's also been another like wonderful example to me of how to be a mother and still play soccer. I think her story is unique as well because she got drafted and she was about to go start her first ever professional season and found out she was pregnant. Wow. And I think that's even more challenging sometimes to navigate just because you're not established as a professional yet. Like, you're so excited and so eager for this next stage of your career, but then you're also entering this next stage of your life. Mm-hmm. And her daughter Scarlett is, I don't know how old she is now, maybe like 8 or 9.
Yeah,
somewhere around there. And it's just been so fun to see how she's just so gracefully handled, you know, being a professional athlete and also being a mom, but also going from playing from, you know, going from team to team for different opportunities, also playing internationally, which is also a whole nother challenge within itself, mm-hmm. not only just as a player, but then also as a player with a child and a family to like travel the world together. But it's been so cool to see her and her husband do that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I think you talk about, like, especially with Katie Taylor, this boxer, this stigma around not only just like female athletes, but then you also throw in that we want to be moms and we want to be like these fierce like competitors. But then you also throw on top of like, oh yeah, like I'm still training or I want to come back and I want to do these things. And because of the lack of like research and knowledge that we have, it's growing, but you kind of, sometimes you get opinions of like, oh, well, be careful, like be safe, like don't do anything to, you know, harm the baby or yourself. And it's like, yes, of course. Like I would never want to do anything to put me or my baby at risk. Mm-hmm. But also there is, you know, I am a elite athlete. Like the things that I did before pregnancy are also safe for me to do after or during pregnancy because mm-hmm. of, you know, what I'm able to, my body is able to handle and how strong that I am, you know. And obviously there are some guidelines, like definitely don't want to be going into contact or getting any balls to the belly, but I think that stigma is also hard to sometimes battle just mentally because you get a lot of opinions from others of like, oh, like be careful, like don't be reckless and all that kind of stuff. And it's like, I promise I'm not, like I'm doing my best because I'm also trying to like maintain and stay healthy and strong so that when I do have this baby, I can come back better than I was before.
Yeah. Yeah, I love it. And I think I'm going to say this very facetiously, so be ready.
Okay.
I think the greatest benefit that this could provide you, Ashley, is you will have the excuse to eat whatever the heck you want. Even as a professional athlete, your excuse can be like, no, I'm pregnant, you guys, I'm eating for two people here, the baby is craving chocolate, so shut up. No, I'm kidding, but
I know my baby has not craved any junk food yet and I'm like still waiting for that.
Oh, that's hilarious. I think it was oranges for one of my first daughter. My wife craved oranges and so we had to get a bunch of oranges. It was and now she doesn't really like oranges because she had too many during those 9 months. It was
interesting. Makes sense.
lastly, here's my last thing before we wrap this up. I think about psychological skills, right? Obviously, that's the domain I'm coming from. And how beneficial mental training is for pregnancy in general outside of sport, mm-hmm. but then also including sport during pregnancy, return to sport, you know, things like emotional regulation, stress management, self-confidence, goal setting, visualization, imagery. I think all of these things, I know all of these things could be of huge benefit. And so I'm advocating for that to be a part of maybe your process and other mm-hmm. women's process, like use the power of the mind, right, to make mm-hmm. this as enjoyable and as successful, air quotes, as possible, mm-hmm. right? So anyways, that was my last thought.
Definitely. Yeah, no, I couldn't agree with you more. And I think I've gotten into a good rhythm with the mental side of my game, and I have a pretty good relationship with my mind, but I feel like this pregnancy is presenting just a new challenge because, like, I haven't
foreign,
seen this
foreign territory.
I haven't seen these hurdles before, and it's not an injury that I can comprehend, and my body is experiencing things that I've never experienced before, and I'm on the field and I'm not able to move the same way that I did before, and I'm like, this is
people
so
are
weird,
treating
this
you
is
different,
so strange,
and
yeah. Exactly. So it's been very clear to me that it's like, okay, I need to, like, be a little bit more intentional about the mental side of mm-hmm. not only my game but just, like, life, and not let all these little things and all these little nuances, like, stress me out too much or discourage me too much, or you know, make me think that, okay, like, maybe I can't do this, or maybe this is harder than I thought it would be. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely a process that I'm going through right now. Yeah.
Well, I know you can go through it, and I know you can go through it with a lot of resiliency and growth mindset orientation, because that's who you are. So I'm confident you'll be able to do that. And I'm excited to be a part of the journey. A very, very small part, just kind of sitting back here saying, hey, how you feeling? Hey, how's it going? But all
still important.
Yeah, all you women out there, I just want to tip of the hat to you for those moms. Literally, we would not be here without you. So, wow. What you do and what you sacrifice is very admirable. And I have a lot of love and respect for you moms out there.
Yes, I would definitely ditto that to all the moms out there too. So thanks for sharing.
Yay!
Well, thanks, Matt, for that wonderful conversation and for doing your research on all these amazing women who have become mothers and still amazing athletes. It's been really fun to talk about, and I'm sure this will be a reoccurring topic of our conversations, at least for the next probably 9 months.
Mm-hmm. Don't be surprised if Ashley is eating while doing the podcast moving forward.
Yeah, exactly. But as always, thank you so much to our listeners. We appreciate you. So please like, share, subscribe, share this with maybe a mother or someone that you're grateful for who has gone through this. And yeah, have a great day.
Bye, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Bye.